Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Leverett.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy
Leverett.
Leverett. Tallahatchie County.
Okay, yeah, that's out of my element.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you aren't cooking out this weekend, well, guess what? We have so many great steakhouses and burger joints around this state. You can eat beef, and you don't have to do the cooking or the cleaning. All you got to do is do the eating, and that's the easy part. They should be announcing the winners. I haven't seen them yet of the Mississippi Steakhouse and the Burger Joint of the Year. So I'll be looking forward to seeing where those are going to be, and be telling you guys to go out and try them, as you should. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for and that you certainly are going to be looking for. As we get closer to the start of baseball season, the M over S gear needs to make the reappearance. If you don't have the new stuff that you want, you get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to someone who knows you, has a relationship with you, not just your money. It's not just knowing you by account number. It's knowing you by name. That's what you're going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, we have got to have a sit-down with Lebby, Selman, Brandon Langlois, maybe the whole team, and be like, guys, we got to get on a schedule here about you. If you're going to release news, do it before these two guys record. All right. Now, we got to set up a group text that says, hey, 1 o'clock today.
Well, I did. You know, I did actually message someone yesterday asking.
We tried.
Them,
we tried.
Like, when we were kind of sitting around after we had already recorded, we were kind of sitting around, you know, waiting. I was like, so we got some news today. Like, even before the thing that we recorded, I got a phone call, and then I was playing phone tag and never heard back. So I was trying to get that confirmation, and then I get on the road, and he announces while I was on the road. So that's usually how it goes.
That is how it goes. Let's talk about it, though. As, you know, as we're here in the transfer portal, I feel like, you know, people love the shiny new toys so much, right? But in my opinion, bringing back Kelly Jones is the best news Mississippi State could have possibly gotten this offseason. You know, still got to wait on Isaac Smith, still got to wait on Anthony Evans, but Kelly Jones completely changes what you're able to do defensively. And if you had to replace him, that was going to be a big expense that you weren't hopeful you weren't going to have to pay. And I think about Arnett's offense and what he was able to do with Emmanuel Forbes and Martin Emerson and the way that the 3-3-5, when it's run properly, is supposed to look. Having a cornerback who can – these last two games, literally nobody has thrown at Kelly Jones. Kiffin didn't throw at him, and then Wake Forest didn't throw at him. Stayed away. This is what he gives you. Having him back is a massive step for Mississippi State in 2026.
It's essentially like getting one of the best cornerbacks in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the retention game is now. Like, when you retain players like this, it's a major win for you. It used to be just about a foregone conclusion. Like, if you got guys on campus out of high school or junior college or whatever, they were here. You just didn't see a lot of guys transfer because you had to sit out a year and they didn't
Right.
want to deal with
Wasn't
that.
worth it. Yeah.
And now it's like it's a major win to keep them here. And Kelly, he could have transferred, and I guarantee you, he could have gone just about anywhere in the country. But
Oh,
what he's
would have been
done,
a $2 to $3 million kind of guy.
yes, this is like picking up, a top three transfer portal cornerback. And that would have not happened for Mississippi State. They wouldn't have been able to get anyone remotely in the same realm as Kelly Jones. If you look at what he did, he had almost as many, actually, he had as many pass breakups as he did completions against them this year, which is just an amazing
A
number. It was
huge number, yeah.
somewhere around 20% completion percentage against him this year. He was, from an analytical standpoint, one of the top five cornerbacks in the SEC and one of the top nationally this year. So this is huge. It's absolutely massive. It's been something we've kind of been expecting the last few weeks, but still getting some finality on that and knowing that he's coming back, that's huge. He could have gone pro and he could have gone in the portal. He
Yeah.
decided to come back and play another year, which has that relationship with Zach Arnett. Arnett was on staff when
True.
they evaluated and recruited him. And you look back at it, that's an incredible evaluation by them to project him at cornerback. We've talked so many times when we saw him on film coming out of Clarksdale High School, athletic freak. You could see that he's a really good player, but it was really hard to imagine a guy that size being able to move the way that he did and play cornerback. And once you get in the weight room and you put on some extra weight, you feel like you're not going to be able to move like that. He moves like a really good corner, but he's long and he's big. So he can play like a safety too. So it's a guy that you don't see come along very often. Zach Arnett found him in high school. Zach Arnett did a really good job evaluating, and Darcell McMath, obviously, as well, was a big part of that process and didn't really have any options outside of that. It was Mississippi State, and then Ole Miss came in as the season went on, and at the end of the year, really ramped up their efforts. But he didn't really have a whole lot of offers. So this was a great job by Mississippi State evaluating him to build those relationships. He wants to stay here, and now you have him back for a junior year.
Yeah.
So.
I think the pros were a more likely outcome than another school. Certainly no other school was going to, I mean, Mississippi State would have paid through the nose to keep him here. They couldn't afford that perception hit. If he had gone pro, he had gone pro. I got go back to a conversation you and I had with a scout. This season, we sat by some scouts, got a chance to pick their brains a little bit, and one guy we talked to, we asked about Kelly Jones, and he said physically, yes, but we'd like to see some more tape on him. And even a full season is great, but you want to see two years of a guy playing at a top level if you're going to invest the kind of pick that Kelly Jones is probably going to command, right? Right now, looking ahead to the 2020, I guess it would be the 2027 draft, Kelly Jones is probably, in the top 15 picks as we stand right now. I don't, I'm not an expert on that by any stretch of the imagination, but a top two or three cornerback is always going to be a very highly regarded player. That's life-changing money. My guess is he's got a seven-figure deal to stay here at Mississippi State for a year, so he'll be taken care of on that account. And then you go into the pros, and you're likely a top 10, top 15 pick in 2027, assuming you have another season similar to what you had. And I've been saying it for a while now. Just his physical attributes give him an edge over almost every other corner in the country. There just aren't a lot of 6'4", 200-plus-pound cornerbacks out there, and this gives him the opportunity to match up physically with wide receivers. He can match up with tight ends if they split out wide. He can be a physical presence that other corner. So many corners out there right now are 5'11", 6 foot, or shorter even. Think about Emmanuel Forbes. He was tall, but he was so skinny. Kelly Forbes is a big guy. Now, I know he had that one tackle in the bowl game where he didn't really get his nose in there. One play. I'm not gonna judge the guy off of all of that. But this is huge news for Mississippi State. And again, from a transfer portal perspective, it saves you probably $2 million that you would have had to spend, because now you would have had to go out and get two corners, and one of them would needed to have been of a similar style to Kelly Jones. That would have been almost impossible to do. So that's great news for Mississippi State getting Kelly Jones back. In
Yeah.
the portal itself, Mississippi State with two commitments already, I believe. I haven't seen a third, but one offensive, one defensive. Wide receiver Marquise Johnson, we talked a little bit about him yesterday from Missouri. I think one of the big telltale signs of did you get a good player? Go look at the other team's message board. Are they happy left? Are they nonchalant? The Missouri fans were not happy. They wanted to keep this guy. And I think after two seasons, Robbie, I'm with you on this. I'm just going to trust that Lebby knows what he's looking for with receivers, and he's going to get guys who can produce there. That was on Sunday. Today, on Monday, as we're recording, Jason Jenkins, defensive tackle from Florida State, has committed. This is a potential guy. Not a lot of production, have battled some injuries, but potentially could be a good player for Mississippi State. Let me ask this. Are they off to a slower start than you thought they might be, or are they about where you thought they'd be after, 40-plus hours in the portal now?
No, I think they're in decent shape. I mean, they've had two commitments. I'm expecting another one here soon. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I love
We
the
talk, are
visitor
we talking about the
list.
same guy here? The quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
So AJ Swine, I
AJ
feel like
Swine.
they're moving towards that
Yeah.
direction with him. But the visitor list right now, like the floor of these lists has gone way up. And I think that what you're seeing is the pool that they're swimming in has changed this year. They're going after more guys that are getting looks from other big name schools and players that I think can come in and be either frontline starters or competing for a starting position, and raises the floor of those position groups too. So the roster is, if they hit on some of these guys, if they are bringing in these players and they're starting to grab commitments from these guys, the roster is going to be improved, should be, across the board. Now, there's offensive linemen that we need to see more of, and they need to start digging in that position group, because they're going to have to pick up almost an entire new group there. I mean, it's just like you're seeing the room kind of filter out now, and every guy that's going in the portal, like, no one's upset that they're leaving. It's a bad situation on the offensive line, and it's got to be a quality group that they bring in. But when you look at Jenkins, this is a player he's huge. He's 6'6", 6'7", closing in on 300
How
pounds.
tall?
He's a guy that's played at Tennessee. He's played at Florida State. And this year at Florida State, he was making a lot of headway. He was actually starting for them before he had Liz Frank injury. And
That's a
so
bad
they
look,
were
too. That
really excited
that's
about it. And you talk about a guy that Zach Arnett has been around. He
yeah.
evaluated there, felt like he can come into Mississippi State and help. I think this is a better player than some of the guys that they've had on the defensive line. And you put this guy up there with Will Whitson and Calvin Dinkins and Travion Williams. Your defensive line is getting more talented. It's getting more meat up front. You've gotten better there. So, I like the pickup. I mean, obviously, you're going to need more frontline guys there to help out, but I believe that this guy is going to be able to help them. And then you look at Marquise Johnson, very fast guy. He's had production inside the SEC. I think that this could be another potential Brennan Thompson situation for Mississippi State. And he's proven it more than Brennan did coming
For
in. He
sure, for
might be
sure.
a touch, he might not, he, I mean, Brennan might be a touch faster. I don't want to say he's a touch slower, because that's kind of a negative whenever he's running a 4.340. So I would say Brennan might be a touch faster, but this guy is a little bit beefier. I think he's going to be able to handle the hits inside the SEC even more than Brennan. Brennan would get popped, and he was in and out. I think this guy's going to be able to handle it a little bit better, and he's had more production than Brennan. I mean, he's 1,000 yards over his career. Brennan had about 500. So, like this guy a lot. I would love to see another outside receiver that could compete for that number three spot with Anthony Evans and Johnson,
Like to see a
but
little size.
A guy that can win in the red zone. I think San Francisco McGee can do that. I think Aiden Williams can win battles one on one if he puts it together consistently. But I'd like to see another guy that's a legit red zone threat, big bodied receiver that can help you win battles. You get one of those guys, call it a day at wide receiver. You have a really good group coming back for Kamario Taylor.
The Jenkins kid, how tall did you say he was?
6'6".
Just 6'6".
Yeah, he's six
Okay.
six.
Okay. Just making sure that's what you said.
I did. I said he
Okay.
was just 6'6".
You mentioned AJ Swan. That's looking like a likely candidate for backup quarterback. And one thing you mentioned, with the visit list. Last year, State was bringing in, and especially year one, State was bringing in players who, like, this was by far their best offer, and they would commit, and you didn't have a whole lot of drama. You see a guy like Caleb Herring coming from Tennessee. He's going to take visits. He's going to go around, and then you just have to hope that your offer is the best one, and you make it clear to him that your offer will be the best one if that's what you want to do. I think State's, it might be this weekend that as guys cycle through their visits, you see a little bit more action. For Mississippi State in the portal. But Swan, like you mentioned, feels like that could go at any time, and then we're just kind of waiting it out. I haven't seen a visitor list for Monday yet, but I assume that's going to be coming out pretty soon over on On3. I'm sure Paul will be on top of that. Also, a couple of players announced they're coming back. Trevion Williams, who I wasn't too concerned. I laugh sometimes, like, I'm back. Where were you going to go? Where are we going to go, Trevion? Memphis? Like, I wasn't too concerned. Zachary Tillman, glad to have him back. I'm still buying. I'm going to hold on to my Zachary Tillman stock. I'm holding on to that. I think that in Zach Arnett's system, he can be I'll be honest, if they find the right Sam, the right guy who could be that pass rusher, Tillman, Smith, Lockhart, that's a good group. I think you got some potential there in that linebacker room. We said that going into the season last year, and they were okay. They were just okay. I think next year with Arnett, that group can be much, much better.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, I even think Trevion Williams is a solid returner. I
He's
think
good, yeah.
we've gotten past the point of him being able to be reach his potential. I just think at this point, I don't think he's going to be able to be an elite guy or a guy that, you look up as a first round pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, that ship has
But
sailed.
last couple of years, he's been solid, 53 tackles in the last 2 years. Sack and a half. I mean, he's been solid. He's forced a couple of fumbles. So this is a guy that can help you and give you depth up front. I would like to go get somebody that's going to be able to be like a front end guy there at the defensive tackle spot. But it's certainly better to have him, I think, than not. A guy that's played football now for 5 years inside the SEC. I think I would rather have him than not because he's been here. He's been around the program. He's been around Zach Arnett. It's a Mississippi guy. It's fine. Like I'm not upset about keeping him at all. I think that it's just added depth. But Zachary is huge, and Zachary is a guy that he could have his best season yet under Zach Arnett. You're talking about a guy, Zach Arnett, and also Matt Brock, that have excelled at Mississippi State and done it here with linebackers. And Tillman was one of those guys that when he was here, I remember talking to Zach Arnett about Zachary Tillman, and he said, "This guy reminds me of Bernhardt McKinney. Like he's just that kind of like athletic freak that can make a lot of plays for you." Now, obviously, stature-wise, not the same as McKinney, but in that same vein, and that he's just a super athlete coming out of high school that you turn into a great linebacker. And every year he's gotten better and better. He had 30 tackles and 3.5 sacks his sophomore year. This year, 47 tackles, 3 tackles for loss and a sack. Had an interception this year as well. I think next year this could be a guy that's got 80 tackles. I mean, he could be one of your top tacklers
I
next
agree.
year
I agree.
because of just what they've done, the production that they've had with these linebackers.
That's what this defense is. This defense is about big production from the linebacker position. Jet Johnson and Bernard, Jet Johnson and Bookie Watson be the first ones to tell you that this line, this group will get tackles. So yeah, I'm in agreement with you. You reported earlier today on three, someone asked you about Anthony Evans and Isaac Smith. You still feel like that's just a waiting process. They're going to get their word out there, but you expect both of those guys back in startable for next season.
Yeah, still have not heard anything to the contrary. Same thing with Kelly Jones. I've kept getting asked about that, and people were so worried about that. But everything I've heard about these players is that they're coming back. I actually talked to somebody in Charlotte last week about that, the efforts of keeping both of those players here, and they felt very good about it. Their words to me were, if these guys don't come back to state, then we're going to be very disappointed in them because they've been very upfront and honest with us the whole time, and they would be straight up lying to us at this point. And they built strong relationships with people at Mississippi State that said it would be totally outside their character at this point to go back on their word. So I have very little concern right now about either one of those. I think that both of those guys will announce here shortly that they're coming back to Mississippi State. It would be a shock if they didn't. It might be a situation where Mississippi State's trying to drag this out a little bit and announce it and kind of take advantage of the PR part of it and kind of balance out who announces and things like that. I could see that being a possibility as well.
That makes sense too, right? Like, if you've got a bunch of stories, you shouldn't just dump them all at once, right? You should, stagger them so that you're staying in the headlines each and every day. You don't want to be one of these people who's like, all right, we got, 20 stories. Let's put them all out here today. That feels like a terrible idea. So you want to, make sure that, you stagger them, and that way every day somebody's saying, hey, something else positive happened for Mississippi State today. That's just common sense as far as I can tell. All
Yeah.
right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food, and the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. Two great places to eat here in the city of Starkville. Two places you want to go eat. Basketball season here. We got home basketball Wednesday. Next weekend, Mississippi State Ole Miss in the hump. You're going to want to be in Starkville for that. Two Brothers is going to be the place to go before the game. To enjoy great food and a great time, go to the Cotton District and eat at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Maroon & Co. is the place to go, the place to find. I know you're all thinking the same thing right now. It's okay. It's okay. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. That's the place to find the Mississippi State gear that you are looking for. Guys, as I mentioned earlier, the M over S, it's baseball season almost here at Mississippi State. Get your new polos, pullovers, and of course, baseball caps at Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, Maroon & White, the biggest and best selection in Starkville is at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions apply. It's life, man. There's an exclusion every now and then. It won't be that big a deal. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. What more can I tell you guys about Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden other than they have what you want for less? That's not just a catchy slogan. That is the truth. And if what you're looking for is John Deere Green, nobody in North Mississippi with a better selection than my friends over at Scruggs. Great financing available up to zero, or I should say as low as 0% financing for 60, 70, in some cases 84 months. It's right there at Scruggs. Call their credit department today. Find out what they can do for you and get a John Deere mower. We're not too far off from spring. I mean, it's January 5th. Start warming up soon enough, I promise. You want to get that John Deere green on your yard? Go to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, this is the name to know. When you're talking about your land, you want to make the right decision about what to do. You need expertise. Good Hope Land and Timber is here to provide that for you. And if right now, if you're in the market to buy or sell land, they can certainly help you with that as well. Whatever you're looking to buy, whatever you're looking to do, they've got you taken care of at Good Hope Land and Timber. They've been doing it for years. They know everybody here in the state of Mississippi. They will make the process so easy for you. Give them a call today. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. You want to say one for the road?
Well, do we know if it's for the road yet?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, I've been told it is what it is. Want to say it?
50.
All right, there you go. Hopefully, we'd love to have you back. Feel free to call us. All right, basketball. Let's start with the good news. Well, it's mainly good news. Let's start with Josh Hubbard named SEC Player of the Week. I'm not overly surprised. He had a really good game in the non-conference, but then to put 38 up on Texas, I'm glad that they didn't try to do a co on this one. Just let the man have his flowers there. I don't think this team is how Hubbard goes, it will go. But at the same time, having Epps is obviously a thing. They got to have another guy with Hubbard. If Hubbard can have 30 a game, but if nobody else is, getting you more than 10, that's going to be a problem. Epps is going to be a good running partner. I'm interested to see if Achiuwa can build on his last two performances where he's been pretty good. If you could turn him into a reliable scorer, a guy that you're just getting 12 or 13 points per game out of him, and you're getting 20 out of Hubbard and, 17, 18 out of Epps, and then everything else just is what it is. There's something to that where you can win some games and make it interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, your margin of error is small, but I
Very
think this is
small.
just
It's
where
almost
you.
negligible, Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just where you are. It's why Hubbard shot 31 shots the other night, and Epps shot a lot of shots as well. Like, you're asking them to take the bulk of the volume of the shots that you're taking right now as a team, and that's okay this year. That is perfectly okay. You have two guys that can create their own shots, that can go get buckets. And two out of five on the floor for the majority of the game, that's still not bad. I mean, you still have some guys in there that could piece together things, but you do kind of need another guy or two that's going to be able to get you something. But the good news for State is I feel like the guys we talked about the other day, I feel like the guys are finding their roles enough, and you have enough guys that you're kind of spreading the wealth a little bit, that you can piece together those things. Like, you might have Epps and Hubbard on a average SEC night get you probably 40 to 45 points, and then
That's a reasonable expectation.
find a way to get, can you get another 35 to 40 points from other players? And then you're going to have to up your defensive game.
Yeah.
But right now, you can't expect this team to have success if they're continuously giving up 80 plus points.
Right. We saw that last year.
You can't go on the road and give up 98 and expect to win. That was a once in a generation situation for Mississippi State to go on the road in the SEC, give up 98 points and win a ball game. Again, the last time they scored 100 plus in an SEC game was 1959. So that's not going to happen much, if at all, for Mississippi State. So they've got to find a way to get their defensive identity back and be able to string together stops so you're not putting so much pressure on Josh Hubbard and Jaden Epps to go out there and score an average of 30 points, both of them, moving forward. Like, you just can't expect that.
Right.
So you got to get better defensively, but also you do need some more contributions up and down the lineup. And I thought Achiuwa the other day gave you that. We got some big buckets from Brandon Walker in the game. Guys found ways to get points whenever they were there to be taken. But it's obvious at this point, Chris Jans is saying, we're going to put the boatload of the volume of the shots in Jaden Epps and Josh Hubbard's hands. Those are the guys that are going to be taking most of the shots for us. The rest of you, if you can get an offensive rebound and a putback, or if you're in position, if they're guarded and you get an open look and we can hit it, yeah. But as far as creating our own shots, we're going to let those guys handle that. So that's what you're seeing right now.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw something out to you. And he's just, this is his first year at State, so he'd have to get there. But can Sergei Mossura be a Cam Matthews replacement? Can he
In
be
a
that
little
jack of
different
all
way.
trades guy? Gives you some
Yeah, I mean,
defense, gives you
he
some
can
points,
do,
rebounds.
not the same way that Cam did, but he can be a guy that does a lot of different things. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he can be the ball handler. Like, Cam could run the offense sometimes, could play a little like point forward. I don't know if he can do that, but I think he can be, if nothing else, he can be like what's the word I'm looking for here? Sort of, like the spirit, the guy that everybody rallies around a little bit. You're a
Well,
popular
if
man
you look
today, by
at
the way.
everybody in my family is calling me. But if you think about it too, he's a more skilled player than Cam as far as his ability to score the basketball. I think there's more in there for him offensively in the tank. I think he's a guy that can shoot it a lot better than Cam. Cam obviously was a runaway freight train when he was coming down the lane, so that's a little different, but he's got a little bit of that to him as well. I mean, he'll get in there and put his nose in there and get to the rim and score. I think he's just kind of getting used to the whole level right now and figuring it out. But you are seeing him come out of his shell. I wouldn't mind him getting a little more offensive play, like setting up a play for him and letting him go try to score. I mean, because he's not shooting a lot of shots. I think he was 3 for 3 the other night, but he's become a lot more efficient. He was struggling to finish on his dunks earlier on in the season. You're starting to see that get better. He's becoming a more efficient player, and he will get his, he'll get his hands dirty. He'll get in there and get on the ground and get
He will
a
do
loose
that.
ball. He'll get in there and put his nose in there and rebound. He's one of state's better rebounders right now.
Somebody, I think, was talking about him and saying, it feels like he takes the criticism that Jans throws out really well.
He's
And
coachable.
well, the reason I was thinking that I'm not surprised by that, if you remember, were you at the first game this year?
No.
So
I
I was
watched
there.
it, but
I was at the game, and after he came into the press conference, he was one of the players they brought in. And on that night, Luka had like 30 plus points in the first half. I think they were playing the Spurs. And I said something to him. I was like, "Hey, are you a big Luka guy?" And Hubbard was with him, and Hubbard was like, "Oh God, don't get him started." And I told him, I was like, "He had 30 in the first half tonight." And he's like, "Oh, that's because he practiced with me." And so, he's making a joke, but at the same time, if you practice with Luka Doncic, one of the most notorious, pardon the language, ball breakers in all of pro sports, a guy who talks smack constantly and just runs his opponents down. Probably what Jans has to say to you feels like a vacation after dealing with Luka. So I'm
well, and
not surprised by that.
it's also just a different society
Yeah, just different.
over there. Like they're a lot tougher. Like the people are a lot tougher. Coaches are a lot tougher over there.
That's what I
Parents are a
care
lot
about.
tougher.
I mean, parents, yeah, but both of us could whip up Stefan. We would mop the floor with him. Let's just be honest.
Well, I'd beat him like a wet noodle.
I'm just saying, he couldn't whoop a picture of me.
But you got to admit, he probably came up in a household. His dad was. He
His
had some
dad?
tough. I don't know. I don't know.
Man,
I've
no,
never
I'm
been around his
agreeing
dad.
with you. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a different environment. He probably, he's not. He hasn't been polluted to the,
He's not a
let's
diva.
pat everybody on the head and give them the money and make sure they're happy. Like he hasn't been polluted to that, which is the culture that we've kind of created in AAU and travel ball and stuff that we have in America. It's just different over there. They're kind of like treated to be professionals at a fairly young age. So he comes over here, that's not anything different to him. Some of these other guys that Jans brings in, he's, bites their head off and they kind of sulk. And it's not just these guys, it's happening across college basketball. You just can't coach guys as hard as you used to. Like there's still guys out there that crave that. They want to be coached hard. And we've seen him on this team. I feel like Josh Hubbard is like that. He's
I
kind of
agree.
built that way.
I agree.
But I think Sergey's a guy that he's taken the criticism, and Jans has absolutely ripped him a new one all year long. Like you can kind of see Chris Jans just tearing into him every now and then when he comes off the sidelines, and he never really is fazed by it. He's just like, "Yes, sir," moving on.
Jan strikes me as the type of guy who would learn some Slovenian just so he could
Just
curse
to
at him,
be
just
able
to do it. Just feel
to
like,
say it as loud as he possibly could, and nobody would
No,
know.
he knows what he's saying exactly. All right, the other news, Jans was asked about Jabari McGee. I don't think he particularly liked the question, but it is what it is on that one. Congrats, or not congrats, but kudos to our cohort, Sam Sklar, who I believe was the one who asked that question.
But I think he wanted to let it go away, and
But that was never going to
we have to
happen.
know.
We have to know. And
It was
basically,
very public.
he said that in the heat of the moment, these guys are all competitors. if the game doesn't go the way they want it to in terms of how they played, they're going to be upset. But Jabari was down in the gym when I left, and I think everything's fine. So appears like it's crisis averted there.
Yeah, and it is what it is. I mean, Jabari's like still posting stuff. Just get off of social media
Yeah,
and just
just take
focus
a
on
day.
just take a day off. There's obviously some things going on there, and he's having a tough time, and I get it. You and I go through our own problems, but it's just one of those deals. Like just let it go and focus on yourself and move on, because there's nothing that Jabari McGee can do at this point. There's no alternative for him. There's nothing he can do that is going to help his college, his not college basketball, his basketball career, or
Right.
to help him as a player or person. If he leaves Mississippi State, he's done. He doesn't have any other options. He can't transfer anywhere midseason. He doesn't have another year of eligibility.
Right.
So the best thing that you can do is make yourself better,
Get in the
do what the
gym.
coach says, get in there, and when you have your opportunities, help the team the best way you can be. Other than that, I mean, I don't know what else to say, but I mean,
Yeah. This is where you
is,
need like some tough love. You need somebody to get in your ear and just be like, because you, as you've said before, like so many of these guys have been like, oh, you're better than this, and you don't deserve that. You need somebody who's like, hey, dummy, are you really going to walk away from all the NIL money? You got nothing else if you do that. All right, get in the gym, get better, stop sulking, be a good teammate, and get after it. And that's all you can do. So. Appears that it's going to go that way. So that's crisis averted, it appears, for Mississippi State. All right, tomorrow's show, we got the rumblings. Go ahead and get your questions in. Robbie and I will be happy to answer the first rumblings of 2026. Talk to you guys then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.